Welcome to Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today. I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer, and on today's show, we take you from northern Indiana's Noble County all the way down to southern Indiana's Spencer County as we cover the state to bring you the latest news in agriculture. Helping me do that today is CJ Miller.
Thank you, Eric. In Noble County, we found a dairy farmer who is very passionate about the dairy industry. We check in on how she's celebrating National Dairy Month. And down south, we hear from the Indiana Forage Council's Outstanding Producer of the Year as he discusses National Forage Week.
And what the Indiana State Poultry Association is asking of federal lawmakers to help with the ag labor shortage.
We'll also hear from Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with his Indiana Farm Forecast, and Hoosier Ag Today founder Gary Truitt as he pays homage to the cowboy poet Baxter Black.
We begin today with a question on the mind of many farmers. What will be the effects of higher interest rates on farmers and agriculture?
I'm almost gun shy of making strong predictions in the environment we've been in the last couple of years.
That's Agriculture Department Chief Economist Seth Meyer. He says classic economics would say that normally
rising interest rates in the United States strengthens the dollar, makes us a little less export competitive.
But Meyer says this isn't a normal situation. Commodity prices are very high. Demand also continues high in light of short supplies of commodities like wheat and weather concerns for other crops. However, Meyer is not gun-shy on making this projection for producers.
If you're a producer, the thing you're instantly going to see is, if you're going to go in and borrow, you're going to see the rate increasing. And if consensus is right, that rate will continue to increase throughout the year.
Meyer says sometimes rising interest rates can lower the value of agricultural land and assets. But again, this isn't a normal situation, so it's hard to tell what might happen.
All else equal, the favorite thing economists say, all else equal, yeah, this should put a little downward pressure on assets like land. But again, I think in the short run, the question is how aggressive does the Fed have to be? And when we look back in 12 months, where is the economy sitting as a result? So again, long run, yes. If this is a part of a long run period where we see interest rates rising over time and sustained, yeah, then that's overall a negative effect on land.
Again, that's USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer. Well, it's a food drive and a contest. But most of all, it's all about helping those in need. CJ Miller reports now on what some county 4-H fairs are doing to help the cause.
Farm Credit Mid-America and Rural First are sponsoring their Fight the Hunger, Stock the Trailer food drive challenge at select county fairs across Indiana.
So this year we are piloting the food drive with 16 other counties that are going to accept the challenge and see how many pounds of food that they can collect.
And that's Mallory Butler with Farm Credit Mid-America. The food drive challenge will pit each of the 16 counties against each other to see which county can bring in the most food donations.
The whole point of Stock the Trailer is to partner with our 4-H counties and at the grassroots level. And so each county that accepts the challenge will get $500 just for participating in the food drive. And then from there, the county then will initiate and take ownership of the entire project. And so they're responsible for finding the trailer, getting their community and their 4-H group together and trying to collect the most pounds of food, competing against the other participating counties.
When the county fairs are over, that's when the top prizes will be given out.
That first place prize is $3,000, second place is $2,000, and then third place will get a $1,000 check. And all that money is whatever county collects the most pounds of food. So the kids are responsible for weighing that. And then they distribute that food to whatever food banks in the county that they want to distribute that to.
The food drive challenge is going on this week at the Miami County Fair.
So we also have Cass County, Howard and Tipton. I think we have Union County, Madison County.
You can find the full list of counties competing and read more about the Fight the Hunger, Stock the Trailer Food Drive Challenge at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
This week is National Forage Week. This is the eighth year the American Forage and Grassland Council has celebrated National Forage Week to raise awareness to the importance and impact of forages.
Forages are very well suited for many locations throughout this country.
That's Ronnie Bame, a cattle farmer from Spencer County, Indiana. The Indiana Forage Council recently honored Bame with their Outstanding Producer Award.
Areas that are not suitable for row crop production, or maybe a person is deciding that row crops just aren't working for me very well anymore. I'd like to switch to forages and have my land covered all the time.
Baim says he's been working with forages ever since he was a little tyke working on the farm with his dad. His farm, about 8 miles north of the Ohio River, is steep and rolling. He uses a mixture of legumes and grasses to help avoid soil erosion.
It's sustainable. It's adaptable to the climate as things are changing. We can, you know, interseed additional forages in there to help fit into what Mother Nature hands out to us.
And Baim says forages are good for water quality.
The runoff from our grass fields and forages is typically going to be higher quality and have less nutrient runoff. We're going to hold more of the soil particles in place, prevent those from running off, getting into our streams and rivers and lakes. So forages are a great resource. They are great for our pollinators out there. Some of the legume species are great for those. So forages are an all-around really great plant system that we're trying to emphasize and make everybody aware of.
You can learn more about National Forage Week and forages in general at indianaforage.org. There's a link at HoosierAgToday.com. It's time to talk markets here on the weekend show. It's been a rough week for soybeans especially, some sharp sell-offs throughout the week. We did see a bit of a turnaround on Friday. With the markets, here's Andy Eubank.
Hi, Eric. Thank you, and we'll have market analysis to begin our update today. This update is brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct. Know the price of your corn and soybean seed before you buy it with Seed Genetics Direct. Sign up to get a seed guide in July with a price list at seedgeneticsdirect.com. Towards the end of trade, as we ended an up and down, but mostly down week, I checked in for market analysis with Bob Utterback at Utterback Marketing Services. Bob, the markets closed the week on a positive note, but really when you look at the week, and it was a holiday shortened week, the Friday gains really don't amount to much. We lost a lot of ground through the week.
Well, you know, this week really kind of made the, you know, going in last Thursday and Friday, the market was pretty optimistic, thinking the dry weather would come in, we'd rally out of this. But all of a sudden, I think the bulls came back and said, hey, this economy is looking weak. And it was just like everybody decided, I don't want to be long. This week, we had a break in the corn market from the high over $1.05. We had a $1.86 break in beans. And so for 100,000 bushel corn, farmers' equity changed $100,000 this week just in corn, not including the beans. So this was a pretty significant. And this is what the effect is going to be anybody that's holding on corn and beans now. It's been shook a little. And this will, you know, if the market bounces a little, that'll release that inventory, which makes July and August really exciting on the basis. Wheat, off its high of 1284, which has been a while back, is now down $3.57. So wheat is now starting to have the true harvest pressure coming in. But the question for corn and beans is the high end? Is it over with? And as Mark Twain said when they announced the obituary about his death, he says, the announcement of my death is maybe premature. And so I think it's the bear got a little too excited this week. He's had his run, needs to take a break. And that June 30th report, acreage report, and the 4th of July, I think is going to be a very volatile time period. And that's when I think sellers of corn and then haven't got sold, and new sellers need to get caught up if there's any dry weather forecast in the model.
Bob Utterback at Utterback Marketing Services. Get Bob at 800-832-1488. Settlements now, we did pick up double digits in corn and beans, a few of the contracts anyway. July corn, 750 and a quarter, goes up 3.5 cents. But September, 682 and three quarters, up 16 points. December, up 18 and a half at 674. Beans trailed all day long, then picked up a little additional steam late in trade. July beans, 1610 and three quarters, up 17 and a half. August up 13 and a half, 1520 and three quarters. November contract, 1424 and a quarter, 8 3/4 higher. Chicago wheat down all day. July goes to 923 and three quarters, 13 and a half cents lower. Mixed in livestock, June live cattle up a dime. August down 50 cents at 133.37. And July lean hogs, 110.92, up 237. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. You're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week.
Rain chances this weekend, I can't get too excited about, but rain chances next weekend, I'm starting to get a little bit more excited about. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast Weekend Edition. Let's talk about what's going on here across the nation's midsection. So we do see some fairly significant thunderstorm activity coming together today across Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois. The problem is, as this moisture gets toward or closer to us around midnight tonight, it starts to fall apart over Illinois, and we do see just a little bit of moisture holding together as it tracks across Indiana then for the balance of your Sunday. So I'm not going to rule out some hit and miss moisture. Is Sunday morning, it looks like it's going to be northwest Indiana, maybe west central, and then as we move through Sunday afternoon, we could be seeing this action in southern Indiana, I-70 southward. All told, we're looking at a few hundreds to maybe a few tenths, 5 tenths maximum. And we're looking at coverage at 60% of the Hoosier State. So I'm not really excited about our moisture chances, especially in north central, central, and northeastern parts of Indiana as we move through the overnight tonight and tomorrow. Then we embark on a sunny, warm, and dry forecast period from Sunday afternoon, well, Monday, let's just say, all the way through Friday. We don't see any threat of rain in there at all. A frontal boundary sags southward out of the upper Midwest and Great Lakes and into our area as we move through the overnight Friday night and especially Saturday morning. I believe that's going to lead to on-again, off-again showers, maybe even a few rumbles of thunder for Saturday, midday, and afternoon, Sunday, and I can't even rule out Monday. So that's the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Now, some of you are saying, geez, Ryan, that's the holiday weekend. Yes. But we've been without rain for long enough now. Are we really going to complain about that? No, we are not. We are going to take that moisture, even if it means we have to fire off our fireworks in the showers. I think we're going to be fine with that. Combined totals, if the current thought process holds together, combined rain totals will be anywhere from a quarter to probably 1 inch, maybe 1.25 inches over that 3-day stretch. Now, here is where things could go off the rails. This is right along a very defined, well-defined line between cooler, drier Canadian air that's coming southward and warm, moist air from the Gulf that's pushing across the southern United States. So that line can set up anywhere. If it sets up farther to our south, all of a sudden we are on the outside looking in for this moisture. So pay attention to this. We'll give you an update as we go through this upcoming week. But I do think our 4th of July holiday weekend may be our independence from drought as well. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Volatility and uncertainty, they're not new to farming, but in 2022, we've moved to a whole new level.
We've certainly had a very volatile market over the last 18 months.
So this situation is not going to go away fast.
We've seen some pretty active volatility in the spread.
In this environment, Indiana farm families need timely and comprehensive information. Hoosier Ag Today is your best source for timely, relevant, and credible coverage of Indiana agriculture. Rely on Hoosier Ag Today, heard daily on this station.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller from Hoosier Ag Today. Well, June is National Dairy Month, and it would be hard to find anyone more passionate about what they do than Noble County dairy farmer Abby Herr.
I always say that I have milk running through my blood because I just love dairying.
And that's Abby from Herr Dairy Farm near Kendallville. She says she's always been involved in the dairy industry.
My family had a small dairy farm in South Whitley, Indiana. So I grew up on a dairy farm. And my husband's family is a long line of farmers, as well as my family. It's just always been a passion of mine.
Even though her dairy farm in Kendallville is a 4th-generation dairy farm, Abby tells me that she's working on it becoming a 5th-generation farm by working with her 2 daughters to get them involved in the dairy farm and the dairy industry.
So we have 2 daughters that are growing up. 1 is 9 and 1 is 7. So right now, this is actually going to be our first year in 4-H, so we're super excited about that. And we are raising them up. They help with the daily chores. They help with calves. And I really like that they get the chance to grow up how my husband and I did and, you know, kind of see the hard work that goes into providing the nutritious dairy products that we have.
Abby says she and her family decided to install robots to help milk the cows.
We made the decision because we were having a hard time finding labor, and it has been the most wonderful experience putting those robots in. The cows are so relaxed. They go in and they milk on their own time. I mean, I always say they're ladies of leisure. I mean, they can go eat when they want, they can go milk when they want, and then they can just lay around and be lazy.
When she's not working or raising her kids with her husband, Steve, she says she enjoys giving tours of the farm.
In May, we had a school of 400 kids come out, and they toured our farm, and it was amazing to see, like, a lot of those kids have never been on a farm before, and to see, you know, them write, like, thank you, I never realized how much, like, a cow ate. I never realized how much went into dairy farming. I never realized about this lifestyle. And any chance that I get to help spread awareness for the dairy community, I love to do that.
Abby says during National Dairy Month, it's important not to take the dairy industry for granted.
Any kind of farming, I feel, is like not for the faint of heart. It's a lot of hard work, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I love what I do. I love being with the animals. I love this life so much, and I love to be able to provide, you know, healthy dairy products for everyone across the country.
You can hear more of my interview with Abby Herr as part of the Dairy Download podcast presented by American Dairy Association Indiana at HoosierAgToday.com. In a time when you hear so much about supply disruptions, one ag company has plenty of their product designed to activate your soil and make nutrients available for corn and soybean plants. Andy Eubank explains.
Since it is foliar applied, you can still add this product to your 2022 plans. The product is Source, and it comes from Sound Agriculture.
It's really exciting in the times we're in with all the challenges going on with the fertilizer market to be able to offer a solution to help get around that and activate soil, put microbes to work, and actually create nutrients right there in that farmer's field.
Jeff Diven is Director of Sales Agronomy for Sound Agriculture. So what is really happening when Source is applied to a plant?
Waking up and activating bacteria and microbes in the soil that can do things like take in atmospheric nitrogen, they can solubilize phosphorus into available forms for the plant. So really activating those microbes that can do all these great processes for us with a foliar application. So we then activate and get those nutrients right in season when we need them, and we're able to increase yield and create an efficient environment for that crop to grow in.
Diven says Source offers grower options for application. For corn, they like to see it mixed with a herbicide that can go on V4 to V6 with your herbicide pass.
Or you could mix it VT to R1 with your fungicide pass. So the economics work out great. We can ride along with the trip that's already happening across the field. Same thing on soybeans. We could go into the herbicide early or a fungicide pass about R3 on soybeans.
Diven says farmers will like the return on investment opportunities, something their customers have experienced for several years.
Yeah, so the ROI opportunity is very large, especially when you look at the chance to reduce a nitrogen application with Source corn. So we typically target about a 3x ROI on the investment of the product. And if you're, you know, able to reduce some high-priced nitrogen, it can be even higher than that. So yeah, at least triple your investment when we place this product on the best field it can win on.
For more information on Sound Agriculture and Source, visit their website. We have the link at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
Thank you, Andy. Russia's ongoing war against Ukraine continues to affect the price of what you're paying for food and fuel. Russia has been blocking Ukraine from exporting its grain, and sanctions against Russian oil have caused gas and diesel prices to skyrocket. All of this makes it even more important for farmers across the U.S. to boost corn and wheat production to not only keep food prices from continuing to climb, but also to help provide food supplies throughout the rest of the world.
We can help our farmers increase their yield, and even just a bushel increase in yield above and beyond what their normal baseline is, what they would normally expect to be able to produce. Maybe a life saved somewhere in the world.
And that's Representative Glenn G.T. Thompson, the ranking Republican on the House committee. At home, fuel and fertilizer prices continue to affect farmers' profits and are causing Americans to spend much more at the gas station and grocery store.
In rural areas, inflation is up 130% more than that of urban areas, according to the Congressional Budget Office.
Missouri Representative Jason Smith.
In rural America, we have to pay $5 a gallon to drive 60 miles just to go to work. Not 3 miles.
Food prices are up 10 to 20% across the U.S. and around the world. Ukraine is one of the world's top suppliers of wheat, but an estimated 20 million tons of grain have been trapped in silos since Russia invaded Ukraine back in February. European Union Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell referred to Russia's blockade of Ukrainian grain as, quote, a real war crime. You can find this story and read more about the latest news affecting Indiana farmers and the ag industry at HoosierAgToday.com. More is on the way next. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Sustaining our environment through smart farming techniques has always played a role for Hoosier dairy farmers like Jill Huian and her family.
Dairy farmers recycle water on the farm an average of 3 to 5 times a day. That means modern dairy farms use 65% less water while providing plenty of clean water to hydrate our cows and run the farm. Just one way we are meeting our goal for a better environment.
Sustainability at dairy farms can be found in many other subtle ways.
Dairy cows are the best recyclers. Over 80% of their diet contains food that we as humans cannot eat. It's that diet that our dairy cows turn into the refreshing, healthy milk that we enjoy.
So why do Indiana dairy farmers do all of this?
We have a really close relationship with our community. When someone needs help, we're there to help. And a clean, safe environment is our priority. It's good for our fifth generation dairy farm and our community.
Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, Indiana. For more information, log on to winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. Still to come on today's show, how to keep your cattle cool and why the Indiana State Poultry Association is asking federal lawmakers for farm worker reform. But first,
on the weekend show, this is As I See It with Hoosier Ag Today's Gary Truitt. Warning, what you're about to hear may be edgy and not suitable for the kids.
A bridge in Yellowstone National Park, a National Historic Landmark built in 1918, was recently washed away as floodwaters raced down the Yellowstone River. Farther south in Benson, Arizona, dementia, blood cancer, and time took down another bridge. The death of Baxter Black, internationally known cowboy poet, author, and large animal vet, has deprived agriculture of one of the most effective bridges to the non-farm public we've ever had. Baxter could reach people using humor and common sense insights and get them to understand and appreciate farming, ranching, and rural and Western culture. His books, newspaper columns, long-running NPR radio show, and personal appearances stood out from the general noise of our world with a different perspective and commentary on everything from presidential politics to livestock testicles. He was a master wordsmith, both poignant and poetic. He found the human in both farm and city life without poking fun or belittling either. He connected producers and consumers at a level far above petty squabbles over GMOs and organic food. His firsthand science-based knowledge of animal husbandry allowed him to expose and discredit the empty claims of the radical animal rights movement. Always sporting his bigger-than-life mustache and cowboy hat, he was a kind, warm, and genuine individual, rare in the entertainment industry these days. I had the chance to interview Baxter many times and was honored to call him a friend. Agriculture will miss Baxter Black, but I hope his works will continue to provide a bridge of understanding between two groups who need to understand each other a whole lot better. I also hope his example will inspire a new generation of bridge builders who will find new ways to bring both rural and city folks closer together. That's how I see it. I'm Gary Truitt.
All right, Gary, thanks. Extreme heat and humidity coupled with no wind in southwestern Kansas resulted in significant cattle loss in feedlots a couple of weekends ago. Some media reports suggest the number was as high as 10,000 head of cattle that died. Scarlett Hagans, vice president for communications with the Kansas Livestock Association, says she can't confirm the number, but she can say that there were issues as weather conditions over the June 10th weekend brought a rapid increase in temperature.
About 10 to 14 degrees degrees almost overnight increase in temperature. No wind, high humidity, the lows only falling to around 70 degrees overnight. And that nighttime is really when cattle release some of their heat load. And when those temperatures stay that high overnight, they really can't do that. And all of that combined in a short amount of time led to some heat stress issues in those cattle. They didn't have time to acclimate during that short amount of time.
In those western counties of Kansas, Hagen says cattle are accustomed to the heat, but not the humidity.
Cattle don't handle humidity as well in a short change. They can acclimate to almost anything if you give them a little time, but that rapid increase in humidity really impacts them pretty harshly, and they're not used to that in that portion of the state. It's normally a dry heat, and so when you have that rapid increase in temperature and that high humidity and really not getting to cool off at night impacts them, because that heat load just stays with them from day after day after day.
If you visit HoosierAgToday.com, you can see a list of tips to keep your cattle cool from Michigan State University Extension. Labor shortages continue to affect the ag industry. C.J. Miller reports now on how one of Indiana's ag organizations is pushing federal lawmakers to pass a bill that could help with the problem.
We just plain and simple don't have enough workers to do all the work we have to do here in Indiana.
That's Rebecca Yonishgan, president of the Indiana State Poultry Association. Farms hiring temporary workers from other countries can only use those workers for several months out of the year. And while that may work for jobs at fruit and vegetable farms, the livestock industry is trying to get legislation passed that would allow those workers to stay on the job year-round.
We are definitely a 365-day-a-year industry. We are not seasonal like some other sectors of agriculture, and seeking some long-term reliable solutions.
The House last year passed the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which revises the current work visa program. Yonishgan and others in the ag industry are now appealing to the Senate to try and pass that bill as well. Yonishgan says having a consistent ag workforce would also help the poultry industry to contain the spread of diseases and viruses like the recent spread of avian flu.
We need workers that understand how to care for animals, and absolutely essential to disease prevention and response that we have workers that are well-trained and committed to employing biosecurity measures every day, all the time.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Thank you so much for joining us this weekend. If you missed any of today's show, check it out online, HoosierAgToday.com. This has been Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.